Item six is about, it's an informational item for process and opportunities for public comment with regional board agenda. We had talked about moving this up. It's a very short item, so this isn't going to take a long time. But I think it can potentially bear us and guide us through today and into the future. And so it's interesting because in public forum just now, you know, where we have three comment periods and it then blooms into a conversation that we actually have a fair exchange. What was 3 minutes of, or actually more of comments, that we actually turn into a robust conversation. And I think that that is always the interesting point here. This agenda item is to engender and to discuss, actually, I think this door swings both ways, not only for the public to address this agency, but for this agency to be a good listener and participant within the process. So I know everybody's here for the next item, and agenda item two, I believe it is, but we're gonna take a short off-ramp that I think will pay us dividends today. So with that, I'm going to give it to Matt St. John.
Great, thank you. So the purpose of this information item is to clarify the process and opportunities for public comment on all types of agenda items that come before the Regional Water Board. This item is a summary of existing processes and regulations with regard to public engagement, and no new procedures or regulations are being proposed. All of these procedures are described in our board meeting agendas, in the procedures and notes section of our agenda, as well as in the public notice documents that are provided for hearing items. In addition, these processes and procedures are outlined in the document, the Citizen's Guide to Working with the California Water Boards. The link to that document is on the slide. And for any interested stakeholders that don't have a copy, Patty Corsi has some, and if we run out, she'll take people's name and we can send copies if requested. So our presentation is going to discuss these opportunities for public comment and participation, breaking it down into various types of agenda items. First, talk about public forum, which we just had a good example of, adjudicative hearings, basin plan amendments, and information items. I will cover those topics. And then Nate is going to finish up by talking about ex parte limitations on board member and public input on pending board agenda items. So this is text directly out of our agenda on each of our board meetings, and it really outlines the purpose and kind of procedures for public meeting. Our board reserves a time for public forum on every agenda. And though the Bagley-Keene Open Meetings Act doesn't set specific requirements, it's this board's general practice to hold public forum at the beginning of our board meeting. The board chair can limit the amount of time allotted to public forum while accommodating all persons who wish to provide oral comments to the board. And generally, the board chair requests that public comments during public forum are limited to a 3-minute time limit. Public forum is the opportunity for the public to address the board on any topic within the board's jurisdiction. However, there are limits as to the issues or topics that can be commented on during public forum. Public forum is not the time to comment on items that are on the board meeting agenda for that day. The appropriate time to comment is when that agenda item is actually being heard. And public forum is also not the time to address the board on any pending items. So items that were out for public review and are scheduled for an upcoming board meeting. The board has to allow the opportunity for comments on all agenda items, And I'm going to discuss separately the procedures associated with these different types of hearing items. First, adjudicative hearings, which are permitting actions and or enforcement actions. Then talk briefly about the process for basin planning related hearings. And then finally, information items. So for adjudicative hearings, which again are hearings on permits or enforcement actions, the board provides public notices for those hearing items. And it's the public notice which sets out the procedures and the deadlines for providing written comments and evidence. The hearing notice tends to be more detailed with regard to enforcement actions, enforcement proceedings. And the hearing notice describes that there are different procedures and opportunities for input between a designated party and an interested party. A designated party, by definition, on a permit is the named discharger, and is, in the case of enforcement actions, the designated party is the responsible party. Designated parties are allotted more time than interested parties to comment to the board during a hearing, but the same deadlines apply for submitting written evidence or testimony. I want to underscore that the hearing notice sets the deadline for submitting written comments and evidence, and submission of late comments or evidence can be excluded from the record. Late evidence can prejudice a decision, and there are specific regulations which establish that surprise evidence, which is just another way of describing late evidence, can be excluded. But the board the board chairman does have discretion to accept late comments, late evidence, if it's been demonstrated to the satisfaction of the board chairman that there is good cause for accepting that late evidence. So then that was describing the process for adjudicative hearings for the written materials. Then on the day of the hearing, oral comments are welcomed. The board, we request that oral comments presented at a hearing serve as a summary of written comments that have been previously provided. It's those written comments that are then in the record, and the oral comments should serve as a summary of those written comments, or in the absence of having provided written comments, should be in the form of policy statements with regard to the hearing item. Again, not to belabor the point, but I guess I want to belabor the point, that no new written or photographic evidence can be presented unless it's been pre-approved by the board chair to present that new evidence, which sometimes includes photographic evidence, on the day of a hearing. Moving now to basin planning amendments. These are regulatory actions, and again, the hearing notice that's provided for these types of agenda items, the hearing notice sets out the procedures and the deadlines for written comments. Typically, with basin plan amendments, a longer comment, written comment period is allowed, typically 45 days. And given that extended time, it's this board's kind of standard practice to hold either a staff workshop or a workshop before the board during that public comment period. In some instances, the board can limit comments to prescribed periods. So that's separate from the written comment period, that in some cases a hearing will be actually closed and no new, no written or oral comments can be provided, and then the board will resume the hearing to deliberate on the topic. Finally, with regard to informational items, these items as well, we always provide the opportunity for providing oral comments. The board chair has the discretion as to whether to how much the time limits allowed to provide oral comments. In some instances, it's rare, but in some instances, we do provide a written comment opportunity ahead of information items. So information items, of course, are items that are informational. The board is not making a decision. But there are some cases where we do want to ask the or invite the public the opportunity to provide written comments. But that's more the exception rather than the rule. But at all times, we provide the opportunity to provide oral comments on information items. And so now I'm going to turn it over to Nate to wrap us up here.
Okay, so I think I have about a minute to stick to our 10-minute promise. So this is a real brief summary of ex parte rules because, as we all know, they're crystal clear. That's why OCC has a 20-page memo on the topic, which is actually very good. It's a very nicely laid out Q&A. So I encourage, if you have questions about ex parte following this, to consult that. So quickly, ex parte, what are they? They're one-sided communications. They're communications on pending adjudicative matters that occur outside of the process where all parties haven't had an opportunity to be noticed that that communication would be taking place or the contents of it. And really the reason for it is just fairness and transparency in the process. And also in addition, it helps build a complete record. So ultimately when the board makes a decision, it's based on what was before the board in the public process and not on these sidebar communications that could have occurred. So it applies to oral and written. So whether it's an email that's received or a phone call, those are ex parte communications. The process, you know, they do happen. It's just a reality. The process for curing that or mitigating that is to disclose it. So if a board member receives an ex parte communication, that should be disclosed when that item is heard. So it's on the record when the board is deliberating on that item. And the consequences is, you know, if someone challenges it and it raises enough of an issue, that board member could recuse themselves from the proceeding, or that might be the advice provided, is that, hey, it's to ensure fairness, you should recuse yourself. If it's more than one board member and maybe the whole board that somehow is prejudiced, it could lead to a challenge of that decision and then a vacation of that decision. And so then it would be heard by another board, essentially, so the state board in that case. Which doesn't happen. I mean, it could, but it typically does not. So just a couple important exceptions to the ex parte rule. One is the legislature several years ago passed the general order exception, recognizing that general orders are more like regulations. You know, they apply to broad categories of people, not specific persons. Ex parte rules don't apply to regulations, so they carved out this exception. So communications on pending general orders are allowed typically up to 14 days before the hearing. As far as disclosure for ex parte communications on, or what would be considered ex parte communications on general orders, it's really the responsibility of the person engaging in that communication to disclose it. And so the regional board has a form on the website. It's a little hard to get to, but there's a form that a person who is either a potential enrollee in the program, an interested party, or has a financial interest, they should fill out that form, say, I had this communication with a board member. Here's the disclosure. We always advise that the board member disclose the communication as well, because it's just safer. You know, the interested parties don't always comply with that, and just to maintain fairness, we advise that the board disclose that communication. There's the link. Just to verify, it is there. It does exist. And so finally, as I mentioned, ex parte rules, they only apply to pending adjudicative matters, permitting, enforcement actions, those types of actions. They don't apply to basin planning. We do advise, mainly for the, you know, the same reasons, fairness, transparency, complete record, to limit ex parte communications on regulatory actions, basin planning actions. And one final exception, I know, John, you want me to mention this, and that's for procedural matters. If it's a purely procedural question that's not controversial, someone says, hey, I need to submit this electronically, you know, is that okay? And the procedures maybe didn't allow for that. That would be procedural. If someone wants extra time and that's not in controversy, that would be procedural. Request to move the date, if it's not in controversy, that would be a procedural matter. And those aren't ex parte, don't necessarily need to be disclosed. So that was over a minute. I apologize. But
and we're done.
Does happen, right? It's easy. Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Corbett.
It's a little confusing because the PowerPoint language is a little different than some of the language in the text here, and so I'm not sure which language to address. Overall tone is, I'd like it to be a little bit more welcoming if you could. But I did want to say for the 3-minute comments, what my water board does is they have in every agenda, they note that, and then they go, the public is encouraged to submit complex issues in writing so they can be better studied. So I noticed you pointed out right submitting the other stuff in writing, but even on the 3-minute, if it's a complex issue, if you just notice the public, they need to write a letter, and we found sometimes that provision, someone says, well, I'll write you a letter, they volunteer it, and then if they don't, they've really already gotten notice and smooth and easy. So that would be my, the other one is between the different materials. It got stated 30 minutes, sort of a couple statements. One was that the main party was automatically would get longer time than the interested parties. I've seen that vary in hearings. So if you just add the word usually, I think that would solve that problem. And I think the chairs have been pretty good about reining in, not having 10 of the other interested parties gang up unfairly for 5 hours against 30 minutes on the other one. But again, I wouldn't lock us into procedures. Mm-hmm. I see one place it's not in there and another place it is, so I don't know which one is on your mind. So I'm just mentioning to try and maintain our discretion in that area.
Thank you.
Well, and it's a good reminder, right, that this is a public, we are a public agency. We are governed by laws, rules, and procedures. Office of Chief Counsel Michael Hoffler and his group has been excellent at guiding us and keeping us out of trouble as board members with ex parte. And at the same time, I admit, which was fairly evident this morning, that I'm really crummy at 3 minutes, frankly, right? That I find it very hard at times, and I admit this up front, to do democracy in 3-minute bites. People that come here and drive here from a long ways or put an extended amount of effort into this process, and I very much appreciate that effort and the comments and the richness of those efforts, even if they're in opposition to something that, say, I personally feel or the direction of something. I think my obligation is to be well prepared for this process, and I totally agree with John, and the tenor of this is that, and we'll see it today, and one reason to bring this up now and why I wanted to I agreed to bring this item before today is that we have information items today that are going to engender passion and points of view they are strictly information items today in workshops, and the written and oral testimony, and especially the written, is important here. I find it hard to watch that little red light there, the green light turn to yellow and then red, and to try to cut people off, because if I cut one person off, I'm going to cut everybody off. And I try to be fair, and I try to be inclusive, and it's a balance on my part. But I would tell you that my obligation as a board member is to, if we get written comments within a statutory time frame where written comments are being accepted, including something like today, my obligation to myself is I'm going to read those and consider those, and I want that to be known too. That's not just to waylay somebody and bracket them to 3 minutes and get them off the mic and put your written agenda things in or your written comments in that I'll never read. So I think this is just a quick reminder of where we're going today with some items and our mutual responsibilities and thoughts on how we go forward.
Thank you very much.
If you're gonna speak, Brenda, come on up.
I'll try and stay under
3 minutes, Brenda. I'm gonna be all over you.
Call him on his comments, Brenda.
Yeah, Brenda.
I just want to make a quick comment, and that is, as someone who comes before the board and makes comments, I have a lot of trouble keeping track of when 3 minutes is and how much more I have to say, and I appreciate David's comments on that. And if it's indeed true that you're setting aside 30 minutes and you ask how many people want to speak and it's only two or three people, it just seems to me, why not move it to a five-minute limit? I mean, and I know most of you are pretty kind about giving an extra minute or two at the end and not cutting people off usually. I can really understand when there's a lot of people, then it becomes really important to stick to that 3 minutes. So I just, the other thing I want to say is, as someone who sometimes has a lot of material to present, and even when I do it in writing, even my general summary is longer than 3 minutes, at times I've been allowed to ask in advance for permission from the chair to go have 5 or 10 minutes under certain circumstances. And it would be very helpful. There was nothing mentioned about that possibility in this and what the process might be for someone who, like myself, who sometimes has organized special comments that I want to get to the board. So if something could be mentioned as to how one should go about doing that and what the circumstances are to allow it, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Fair point, Brenda, and thank you for your comments. Okay, no other comments on that. Just something to consider today and to keep in mind as we go forward. All right, we're going to move on to agenda item 2, agenda shed to be approved by resolution of